Hello, this is Ben Wendell from Newsletter Marketing Systems. Today we have the pleasure of talking to a highly experienced Perth-based business coach who's figured it out how to keep his own and his clients' customers coming back time and time again. They're spending more money, they're referring more, and they're staying loyal for much, much longer. Now, David Butsworth is his name, and he has over 20 years' experience and success in business with a Bachelor of Business, Marketing and Travel Management. David specialises in helping business owners to understand the proven business and profit development strategies that work when marketing to attract and retain good customers. He demonstrates these techniques and shares them with his clients, and I'm sure he's going to share some great techniques with us today. Now, David has worked with many startup businesses, small businesses, medium and large businesses, and he assists them with maximising their profitability, their team productivity, and the quality of client numbers. Now, he's worked with and continues to work with businesses all over Australia, working in both with both city-based businesses and also regional businesses. And all in all, David's helped businesses in Australia to generate over $100 million in additional sales. So it's an absolute pleasure and a privilege to have him on the call with us today. Welcome, David.
Thanks, Ben. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
All right, excellent. I've given you a bit of an introduction there based on what I've read about you and what we've talked about, but I'd like you to just give a quick introduction about yourself, how you got into business, and what it is you do.
Yeah, sure, Ben. I've been in business ever since I left high school. I finished high school and worked for a local newsagent and threw papers seven days a week, 60 hours a week for $139.50. I did that, fortuitously enough, I was working for the mayor of Mosman Park, David Jones, and I've always had mentors in my life, and he was my first business mentor, and I learned from him that we've got two ears and one mouth, and it's better to listen than to speak, and I've stuck with that learning ever since, and I worked for a couple of years or 18 months with him, and took some time off after buying a car, a boat, and a PA. And went back to uni and got my degree and started working on the Maya program the very Monday after I graduated. And I learnt early on that business is about people, and if we treat people right and we look after them, they'll look after us. And had some great success with a number of businesses and was fortunate enough to be offered jobs in Sydney, in Brisbane, all over the country. And what I learnt, what they put me through as far as training goes and marketing was wonderful. And I left the corporate world when I was running API in New South Wales and the ACT, which was a $1 billion business. So I left that 5 years ago and came back to Perth to raise a family and to share with my clients the proven strategies that are simple, that can help them generate the profit they deserve and they need, to have the structures in place, the people working for them, so they can have the life that they and their family deserve with the holidays and all the fruit that goes with being successful.
Excellent. Yeah, no, it's a rewarding thing being able to bring that into other people's life, I'm sure. So now, I mean, how many clients do you sort of have at a time? What sort of businesses? I mean, I mentioned earlier that you have small to large businesses that you've helped and worked with. Is there any well-known companies that some of the listeners might know of that you've worked with?
Some of the bigger companies, we've got Symbion Pharmacy here in Western Australia, Sigma Pharmaceuticals, API, Australian Pharmacy Industries. I've worked with GE Capital Finance in their private label credit card division. They're the bigger ones locally here in Perth. Main Logistics was a company I worked for. Some of the smaller companies that I've worked with are Supreme Coffee in Great Eastern Highway, Belmont. Everyone may have seen that driving past. Legal firms, accountancy firms, some of the biggest, most successful firms in Australia. Some of the most successful business owners in the world in their market niche, I've helped them double their profit. And one example of that. Yeah. So it's business is hard if you don't know what to do, but it's quite simple when you do know what to do. And I was fortunate enough to have 20 years of big corporations teaching me the right way to do business, and now I share that with smaller businesses who haven't had the same luxury.
Excellent. Yeah, no, there's a lot to be learned by those bigger corporates. Obviously, they've done something right to get to that size. So I guess if you get that education like you have, it's you know, it's something you can't even buy these days, really. So
I think a lot of guys in small to medium business, they spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on learning what the most, I suppose, state of the art techniques for marketing, team management, just creating. They spend a fortune on it. Some of the well-known circuit speakers learn from people like Dan Kennedy in the state, and they bring it back to Australia. They learn from people like Keith Cunningham, who's a billionaire, who talks about accounting and financial management. And I did the course with Keith. It cost me $10,000 for 5 days, but I'll tell you what, in business, it was the best $10,000 I ever spent.
Yeah, no, you've certainly got to invest in the right education, that's for sure. Now, I mean, our main focus here at Newsletter Marketing Systems is all about customer retention, and obviously you're very, very well adapted in both getting leads in and lead generation for clients, but with customer retention, I've had a talk to you in the past, and you're a big advocate of newsletters, which is something that we also advocate to our clients and really push to get clients involved in doing a newsletter to retain their customers. What sort of experience have you had with newsletters, both for yourself and for your clients?
You're absolutely right. Newsletters are a foundation of a marketing program. And for me personally, the newsletter has been the best return on investment of any marketing that I do or that I've done. Newsletters for me are the cornerstone of my marketing and of my business. I get a newsletter out once a week with ABC Business Improvement. I do it once a month with the Denture Practice Marketing Program. And a number of the businesses that I've got, they all do a newsletter, and the newsletter goes out to prospects as well as existing clients. And as I said, I've had thousands and thousands of percent return on investment for that. And I recommend anyone in business, if you don't have a newsletter going out to your prospects or clients, you've got to start.
Yeah, definitely. So what were some of the, I guess, the marketing problems that your clients and yourself were experienced before you actually implemented a newsletter? What are some of the problems that you found that you were up against?
For me personally, in the business coaching game, investing in a business coach can be a big decision, and it can be a huge commitment. It's important for a prospect to see that a business coach is delivering value, as the real life examples of clients who turn their business around from perhaps losing $150,000 to, and potentially going out of business, to within 6 months making $150,000 and repositioning the business for the future. They need to see those real life examples, and the newsletter is a platform where you can tell them about these things, where you can share with them, where there's no pressure to buy or pressure to get involved. And when they're ready, because they've seen the success we've generated at ABC Business Improvement, they can then step in with confidence, knowing that they will achieve the goals that we set, because it's proven and it's working every week. For my clients, I encourage them to create a newsletter, because the newsletter will create almost like a herd or a pack mentality with your customers or prospects. Human beings, whether we admit it or not, we're social animals, and we need to interact with people, and we love to interact with people with similar interests. And if you're a hobby shop, having a newsletter is fantastic. If you're a dentist, having a newsletter is fantastic. If you're an accountant, having a newsletter is fantastic. In pharmacy, when I was at Symbion Pharmacy, our monthly newsletter went out to every single pharmacist in Western Australia, and we positioned the content of that to be exactly what that prospect or existing customer needed to know, based upon where they are in business, what the opportunities are for them in business, and what they need to be afraid of or mindful of with the changing guild government regulations. It was a fantastic tool to be able to communicate with 550 pharmacy owners in Western Australia without getting on the phone every month and talking to them individually. It was a wonderful tool back then, and for me, what we did with that was really exciting. I'd go in and see a client, I'd see a prospect, and they would know inside and out what our business was doing, what our clients were doing, So it meant I was able to cut to the chase very often and help solve their problems. And in exchange for that, they would join and spend millions with us every year. Newsletter was the cornerstone of that strategy.
Yeah, no, it seems what you're saying there is really, it doesn't matter what industry it is, whether it's dentist or hobby shop, there's a need for a newsletter, and that's regular communication in almost any industry. And that's something Zach and I have noticed, is that we haven't really come across many businesses that won't benefit from a newsletter or won't benefit dramatically from implementing a newsletter and sticking with it. And the other thing that you really mentioned there is the idea of really leveraging your time with a newsletter. Like you said, rather than calling 500 businesses, it's simple, it goes out in the mail, and there's no legwork in a sense. It's just that investment in a bit of postage, a bit of printing, and making sure you've got some valuable content there each month or week, depending on how often you send it out. Now, one of the things you did mention there is your own. You send out one weekly and one monthly. For your clients, what do you normally recommend frequency? How often do you think that people should be receiving a newsletter?
With a new client of mine, we recommend that they just get a newsletter set up. And if it meant them getting one out quarterly, then do it. And when you get your system right, when you get your process right, when you get your copywriting and editorial right, then you can increase it to monthly, and then once you feel comfortable with that, even go weekly. Now, if you can outsource that to someone like you and Zach, then that problem's solved. A newsletter should go out as often as you've got content that's of value to your prospects and clients, but do it consistently. So many people out there launch a newsletter, and they come up with some fantastic content. They might run it weekly for 6 weeks, and then they don't do it for 2 months. Then they do it again monthly, and then they do it weekly. And what it does is it really does reflect in the business that you've got, in the service that you provide. And if you're doing it weekly, do it weekly. If you're doing it monthly, do it monthly. If you're going to do it quarterly, because people will look forward to it. They're consciously and subconsciously looking forward to it. If they don't get it, they get disappointed. And then if they don't get it, for a period of time, they forget about you. And when they finally get it, they can get peeved off and saying, well, this is supposed to be a monthly newsletter and I haven't got it for 3 months. What's going on? So it really does send a message about your business, and it can be good and it can be bad. But in addition to that, the fundamental in regards to a newsletter is that if your clients are on a newsletter and they get the newsletter from you monthly, then 65% of them over 2 months are likely to buy from you. If you stop sending out a newsletter, then for every month that you don't send them information, 10% they're likely to wane or drift from you. Look at the opposition, and that'll increase 10% month on month on month. So if you do it, your clients will stay loyal to you and they'll spend with you. If you don't do it, you're likely to lose and burn clients. And we all know how it is, how hard it is to keep a client, how to retain them. The best way to keep a client is with a newsletter. The best way to lose one is to not communicate to them, and by not having a newsletter, you're more likely to lose clients, to burn clients, to see them drift off, to see them go somewhere else where someone does love them. Because the biggest stat that you can find about why clients leave is because the sense of indifference or lack of value they see from their supplier or good provider compared to someone who's poached their business, who provides them with the love that they want.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. I mean, it's really an exponential thing. If you send out one newsletter for the first time, you're not going to see a great deal of response. Usually, is what we find with our clients, is it tends to be on the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth. The more that they get regularly, the more people we found tend to respond. We find that it's sort of at the 6 to 9 month mark where you really find that clients are used to receiving it, they're looking forward to receiving it, they're enjoying it, and you really do start to build a relationship. And the other thing I've found actually is if you do call your client after 6 months of them not calling you, you not calling them, but you've been sending them a newsletter for 6 months, is that they're actually almost apologising to you for not keeping in touch, which is a strange difference to when you haven't kept in touch with them. They're actually saying, oh, I'm sorry I haven't kept in touch, or sorry I haven't called you, thanks for keeping in touch with me. And that you really do have the upper hand then when you're talking to them, and you know, you are in that better position to negotiate with them if you are looking at, you know, when you're building those relationships.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I'll never forget a guy who I put it on my newsletter circulation years ago. Hadn't heard from him in 3 years. I'd only met him once. And I asked him, would you be happy to receive some business tips from me on a weekly basis? He said, yeah, sure. Send them out, that'd be great. Didn't hear from him, hadn't spoken to him in 3 years, and I got a phone call, went in to see him. And I said, okay, this is how we work, this is what we do, this is a bit about me. And he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm just telling you a bit about our company and how we work. He said, well, why are you bothering? I've got your newsletter for the last 3 years. You're here because I want to work with you. Let's get going. So the whole selling process was completely removed, and he just said, where do I sign? Let's get started. Let's start fixing my business. And it was wonderful. It was a fantastic example of the power of a newsletter for prospects, not just existing customers, but for ones who you want to be a client.
I'm glad you brought that up, actually, because it's something that when Zach and I went in to create this newsletter program, we were focusing primarily on customer retention, so sending it to your existing clients and getting your existing clients to keep purchasing and to refer more people. But really what we found ourselves is by putting your prospects and anyone you meet in networking events, asking them if they want to receive information from you, it's actually a great conversion tool. So any prospect you may have, they may not be ready to buy now, but who knows, in 2 years' time, in 3 years' time, they may be ready to buy. So as you mentioned, it's a great way to convert them into clients. And like you said, the majority of the selling is taken out because you've already proved yourself, your ability to deliver. And depending on what you're putting in your newsletter, if you've got testimonials or, like you said, case studies on things you've done, it really does make that process so much easier. And you've built a relationship with them over 3 years, which is probably more than any business, any other businesses that they're dealing with in almost any industry that they've got a relationship with. So it's a great place to be.
Spot on, Ben. I mean, people talk about, and I agree, everyone needs a website, but we need a website that sells. Every business these days would have a website. Probably 99% of them don't work, but they still have a website. I put it to every business owner, if you don't have a newsletter, you're missing out on more business than you'll ever get by having a website. You have a newsletter that goes out, whether it's weekly or monthly, and it's got the right content, you'll get far more business out of a newsletter than you will from a website. I've proven it for myself and for everyone else who uses a newsletter that I work with. Newsletters are so much more powerful than having a dormant website.
Yeah, no, I agree completely as well. I mean, Zach and I, we've really experienced the results firsthand now with our newsletter. We've got a newsletter that goes out monthly, and we've also got two e-zines that go out a month. So our clients are being, we're in touch with them at least at an absolute minimum three times a month. Our e-zines go out on the 5th and the 25th, and our newsletter goes out on the 15th each month. Now, what about yourself? Because we get the question quite often from our clients about, you know, what about e-zines and what about email over hard copy in the mail? And we're actually much, you know, we've done some tests and had a look at results. And, you know, email is not nearly as powerful as in the mail newsletters. What's your take on that?
If you've got the money, a hard copy newsletter is by far more powerful than an email formatted newsletter. It's not to say that the email format doesn't work. It does, and it works magnificently. But if you can afford to get a hard copy newsletter out, what happens is it makes the intangible tangible. It makes the soft copy real. And when I was at Symbion Pharmacy, we would print off 550 four-page newsletters and send them out to every single pharmacy in Western Australia. Colour, thick, GSM, and it was a really, really powerful tool. If you can't afford that, obviously, then go down the email path because it's free and it costs you only time to produce. Regardless of whether you do a hard copy, if you can do it, definitely do it. If you can't afford it, then a soft copy is definitely worth doing, regardless of if it's not as effective as a hard copy.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point to make. It really comes down to something's better than nothing. And the other thing, when you were talking about content as well earlier, it just got me thinking, because one of the things that Zach and I have realized as well is that even with a newsletter, getting something out, even if the content isn't perfect, just getting being there, providing them with some information each and every month is going to do your business wonders regardless. It doesn't have to be really valuable expert information. Even if you're just coming up with some tips, and then maybe if you've got some interesting content, some trivia, and just something to entertain them each month even, that there has a much better effect than just sending them nothing at all. So obviously, if you can't fill two pages with, you know, really great expert information about your industry, just putting some general interest articles or some trivia or some cartoons or a, you know, Sudoku puzzle, these sorts of things are great space fillers that do actually still build a relationship. And when people get it, it's like you said, they're looking forward to it. It's a bit of fun. They get to smile and they have a little bit of laugh, and that really reflects on your business well.
Absolutely. And a good balance of a number of facets is great. Because human beings are social animals, we love to see new members. We love to see photos of people who win competitions. We love to see people smiling, just ordinary people like you and me. And by having a newsletter that's got the slice of life stuff in it, it's refreshing. It's a break from what you're doing, and it can be a laugh, it can be a joke, it can be anything you want it to be. Knowing your market better than anyone else, the content you put in there can be fun, it can be refreshing, it can be a joke, it can be stirring up the government, it can be whatever you want it to be that you know your clients and your prospects love to get into. And if it's Crossroads, great. Really, you know your market better than anyone. The content you put in your newsletter, I'll soon tell you, I mean, I remember when I first started doing newsletters, I heard very quickly what people didn't like, and by the same token, so I modified it to accommodate suggestions. And when I did write something that people loved, it was like a unanimous, we're behind you, we agree with you, this is absolutely true. And it's quite exhilarating to get to press the right button, the emotional button, where your readers give you feedback. And you know, it's a fantastic tool, not only for them but for you, to know that you're on the pulse with your industry, with what you're coming up with. It's a wonderful communication tool.
Yeah, no, it is. It's really lovely to get the feedback, especially when it's unsolicited feedback as well. You're just somebody giving you a phone call saying, "Oh, I love that article." And I've had that a few times, and I've found that it depends on obviously your industry and who you're targeting. But you know, you can't please everyone in a sense as well. Is one thing I've realised is, you know, I've had people who say, "Look, you know, I just want the really great information. Leave out all the other stuff. You know, just the, you know, the real great tips and stuff." And then I've got other people who talk about, you know, every week I do the maze that you put in your newsletter. So, you know, you do get a bit of a mixed bag of opinions, but it's really a matter of getting that feedback, working out what people love, what they don't, and really going from that. And the other thing that you mentioned earlier with the sort of slice of life stuff is another great thing I've found with the newsletter is it's a great way to convey your personality. And there's no harm in bringing your personal life a little bit into it. You know, you bring your kids, your pets, any of your, you know, if you've got any special occasions, you're doing something for your birthday, you know, you bring those events into your newsletter and it really builds that relationship with your customers. What's your take on using...
I couldn't agree more. Today, people are, and I know I'm one of them, are really repulsed by processed marketing rubbish. We're so skeptical. We're so, we question everything because I suppose we've been conditioned to. But when people see slice of life, real stuff, I mean, I had a client who's been with me for 12 months say to me a couple of weeks ago, "She said, the reason I signed up with you is because I knew what you were saying is real." I said, "Why is that?" She said, "Because the newsletter that I got, one week it talked about your boys and an event that was taking place, and he had a photo of them there, and she said to me, I knew after I read that what you talk about is true and real, and that's why we signed up with you." And I was grateful. I thanked her for letting me know that. And I mean, you've got to watch your writing. You write from the heart, people can tell. If what you're writing is rubbish or canned or for something you don't know about, something you don't think about, something you've got no experience with. If you claim that you do, people know it as well and they'll run a mile. So my advice is be real, be true, write about stuff you know about, and if it's stuff that someone else knows about, make sure you say, oh, this is the opinion of Jay Smith, or this is the expert Dr. Peter Dingle, or things like that, so that people, because people can read rubbish a mile away, but when it's true and from the heart, they can read that equally as well.
Yeah, no, that I think that really being genuine makes a huge, I think just in business in general, you know, the minute that anyone gets the hint of any falseness, like you said, they run a mile. So if you can really convey that through not just your newsletter, but any marketing, it really rings true. So, you know, that's some really great advice there. Now, I mean, I've got a few things here that newsletters we've found though do for our customers, and I guess I just want to bounce off your experiences with newsletters and whether you also have experienced these same results. Firstly, increase in repeat business from existing clients. Have you found that your newsletters do though that?
Oh, with my personal business, I mean, the average life expectancy for a business coach client relationship is anywhere between 3 months to 6 months. Some of the best coaches in Australia, it's 9 months. For me, it's years. And I don't say that to be ego-driven. I say that just to be honest. And the reason it's years is because I have a relationship with my clients. I get in there, I get dirty. It's all simple stuff. It's all basic stuff. But I get in and help them achieve the results. And if someone's getting results, they stay with you. A newsletter projects that relationship and that work ethic to your existing clients. It also talks about a challenge that I might have helped a client overcome and shares it with a lot of prospects and a lot of existing clients, and they learn from that. So whether I've got 30 clients that I work with, they each read the newsletter once a week, they each learn from it, they each get a tip out of it, and they apply it in their business. So despite the fact that I'm working with them, which might be weekly, it might be fortnightly, it might be monthly, it might be contractually ad hoc, but regardless, they all read the newsletter once a week, they all learn from it, they all implement it in their business, and it keeps them going, it keeps them informed, it keeps them motivated, it keeps them on track to stay with me as a coach. So I keep clients longer than a lot of coaches because one of my strategies is the newsletter. It keeps people close to me and they keep working at their business and they don't give up. And for my clients who have customers or their clients that come in, they might have had clients that they see once every 10 years. But with a newsletter, they've come in once a year. So there's a 10-to-1 return on investment by using a newsletter. Some clients will learn tips that will help them sell a product for 4 times what they used to sell it for, and they'll put in no more effort. So the power of a newsletter doesn't just get you new clients, doesn't just help you keep clients, it helps them learn systems and strategies and it helps them understand what they could get that they haven't got, what they should have that they haven't stepped into. If, for example, in a hair and beauty salon, someone might go to the beautician once every year, but with a newsletter, they'll come up with offers, they'll come up with examples of events they should be getting prepared for, and by you thinking on behalf of your client to educate them on being prepared, they'll reward you for that thinking on their behalf by visiting you more, by spending more often. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what we've found with our clients, and I operate a graphic design and printing business on top of doing the newsletters, and the newsletter actually goes out to the majority of my graphic design and printing clients also. And I've found that they order a lot more regularly. I've found that it's no longer them calling me up when they run out of stock. It's instead they call me, you know, a few months before because they know they're getting low, and it just makes everything so much easier because they. You're always at that front of mind that you're always actually in their face in a sense, and they're actually seeing you and they're remembering and thinking about you, which really leads to them, if they need your services, they're a lot more likely to contact you.
Mate, I couldn't agree more, and I'm glad to hear it works in your business as well. It's wonderful.
Yeah, no, I mean, you actually answered a few of my upcoming questions actually in that as well, which was, one was extending the customer lifetime, like you said, for yourself. It's gone, you know, where you said most business coaches might have 9 months and yours is into the years, which is, you know, great. A great thing about newsletters is that you do keep that loyalty for a lot longer. And the other thing was you sort of touched on it there, which is that you sort of had some improved response to your sort of other marketing, which is, you know, when you do have a newsletter going out, you find that if you do put out offers to people, they're probably a lot more likely to take them up when you've got that relationship. And also, if you do put an offer in a newsletter, because newsletters are primarily non-sales, the occasional offer in there generally I find gets a much better response than if you were to just send out a flyer with an offer, and because people are actually reading it, where if they just get a piece of advertising in the mail, usually it'll go straight in the bin. So there's some great stuff there. One other thing I'd like you to just touch on is the idea of referrals and referral marketing out of a newsletter. Have you had any experience with that?
Yeah, I did a newsletter that said, if you know someone in business who's struggling, this could be the best gift you could ever give them. And then the offer was tied to that headline, and it had a fantastic response. Setting up a club or a membership, setting up a list of clients that you've got, which you publish on a weekly or monthly basis. Probably monthly is better for that sort of thing. But by mentioning people's names, new members, by talking about clients, the best referring client, new referrals from Sue Smith who referred this new client, when you articulate and thank people publicly for referring clients and new clients to you, you are acknowledging them, and when you do that, they'll do it more and more often. As we know, referrals are a great source of business, as are obviously newsletters. When you tie the two together and you publicly acknowledge people for doing some wonderful things for you, and they see the photo, they see, you know, maybe a referrer of the month sort of thing, it encourages that behaviour from all the members. And before you know it, you can generate a massive amount of business from your existing clients referring friends, colleagues, family members to you, and that referees or referrals cost nothing. So it's another wonderful strategy tied in with a newsletter that that you can use to generate more profitable business. The other thing is, with when you've got clients or members on a newsletter and they refer their friends or colleagues, more than likely those people are going to be like them. So the sort of people you accept as members or hardcore customers of yours, if you look after them and they look after you, you'll get more like them. So when we talk about targeting the business you want, a lot of people will sort of sit there and say, well, no, we take whatever we get. Well, if you're in that situation, that's understandable, but what you want to get to is to target exactly the client you want, who buys from you in certain volumes, in certain ways, who pays you on time. And if you get more people like that, because birds of a feather flock together, they associate with good pays, they associate with good people, they associate with people who buy in volume, the more of them you get on, the easier your life is, the easier business is for you, the more profitable business is for you. And you can create a business, you can mold a business like you can mold clay on a wheel when you target the sort of clients you want, as opposed to accepting the ones that no one else wants. I mean, that's a whole other story, but it's all about referrals. And if you reward and recognize people in your newsletter who give you the sort of clients you want, and you acknowledge new clients in your newsletter that you did want, it just feeds itself. It's a wonderful, another marketing strategy.
Yeah, no, that's excellent advice there. It's a shame we don't have time to go into that, and we are running low on time actually. So there's just one more quick question I have for you, and then I'll just ask you if there's anything you want to add. But with businesses, have you found to add does it add to the sale price of the business at all by having a newsletter? Does it improve the final sale price when a business comes to sell? Have you experienced that?
Absolutely is my answer. A newsletter going out to your customer base, your database. See, the only value of a business is its customers, or it's the value of the business is reflected in the number of customers or clients on your database. And that could be monetarily valued through the contracts that you've got. And a contract is, I suppose, a written agreement. If you've got a good newsletter, that keeps your clients close, that keeps them buying more and more often, that keeps the sort of clients that you want seeing you, then that trickles down through, obviously, from the sales you get from them. But because it's a repeat business, because it's good business, it goes straight through to the bottom line. Now, if you've got a very powerful, very strong bottom line, then it sets your business up to either, you know, when you're getting older or a bit long in the tooth, you might want to step back and work 2 or 3 days a week. A profitable business allows you to earn the income that you're used to working hard to earn, but by putting in someone to run the business while you're not there, it makes it a very saleable commodity. If you've got a business where you have to work and you can't step out, it's a very hard business to sell, and if you sell it, you'll be selling it for next to nothing. It might be fixtures, fittings, and stock. Where you can start getting multiples, when you can start demanding a premium, is where the business runs with or without you. And by having a consistent, powerful, strong, loyal customer base, which you keep loyal through your newsletter, you can ask a whole lot more for a business, or you don't have to sell it. You run it part-time. You might do 2 or 3 days a week. You might do 5 hours a week, and the rest of the time you're playing golf, you're traveling, you're doing what you want with the right person running the business and still extracting the profit that you deserve. And a newsletter will certainly help in that strategy.
Yeah, no, that's some great advice there. Thank you very much. Was there any other things that you'd like to add regarding newsletters at all in your experience, or do you think we've covered the majority of it?
I think we definitely have covered the majority of it. The only other thing is that if you're struggling with content, there's so much information available on the internet, so much information you can source from around the world, and there's people who write, whose articles you can use. There's people who do writing on a topic or on a subject or on an industry, on a market, that you can source information from them, and it's cheap as chips. So don't ever think you've got nothing to put in there. Just go on Google or use guys like you and Zach to provide the content, because the most important thing is just get it out there, get it consistent, and it'll work wonders for you.
All right, excellent. All right, well, thank you very much for that. I'll just like to say, thank you, and just let the people on the call know that if you do want to get in contact with David and you like what you've heard and you think that, you know, you'd benefit from some advice, his website is www.abcbusinessimprovement.com.au, or he can be contacted on 1300 858 836. And how do they go about getting onto your newsletter list if they'd like to start receiving your newsletter?
Yeah, they can do it a couple of ways. One would be to go on the website and just say they'd like to receive the newsletter. We'll whack you on the database there, or give us a buzz, and I'm happy to put you on manually myself and let you start receiving them either weekly or monthly, depending on what product or service you're after.
All right, excellent. All right, well, thank you very much for your time today, David, and we'll look forward to talking to you again. Take care.
Thanks, Ben. It's been a pleasure. Bye-bye.